your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final hour of this Memorial Day 2016. That's right, Memorial Day 2016. What's Memorial Day 2017 going to look like? Anything like this year? Interesting question. Can you feel the acceleration of time, of events? I certainly can. Things are happening at a rapid breakneck pace. And I'm going to accelerate the information now. So buckle in, because I'm going to go as deep right now into what I see taking place, what I believe is taking place. And again, some of you might say, oh, this is just reinforcing old news, but let's clarify a few things. And before I do, you listen to things during the break, and I heard the spot for my book Stained by Blood, and it just caught my attention. You know, although you hear it maybe a thousand times, sometimes it just catches your attention. And I'm thinking to myself when I heard that, I'm thinking, boy, you know, again, if I knew back then what I know now, I would have understood what I was dealing with a lot better, because this now, this hour, I'm going to be talking about maybe the people who are around you or the people who will become more relevant in the days, and I mean days, weeks, months ahead. By the way, I want to thank everyone who has ordered the book and has written an honest opinion on Amazon. It's really making a lot of good inroads. I've gotten a lot of great response. This week I'll be on a radio show in Philadelphia. I believe for 90 minutes or 2 hours. I pre-recorded the interview. More on that on the website. But got a tremendous response from that, and all of this has to do, it has to do with mind control subjects, with people, and it's really when you really understand this, you'll see how we are all being gamed, and you'll see how easy it is for us to be subjugated by this tyrannical fascist society of all stripes. I mean, people of all stripes. And, well, again, thank you so much for ordering it. I had a laugh because I looked at some statistics, and one woman, I just had a laugh. One woman, who is just been, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, but she had ordered the book through Kindle and read the book, gave me a kind of a scathing review, basically saying I was all, you know, just made up, basically. And then returned it, sent it back. I guess you can do that. I didn't realize that you can actually return an electronic product, but got her money back. A Christian, of course. Self-proclaimed. Go figure. Right? It just struck me as funny. You know, out of every, I don't know. I got a weird sense of humor, but I looked at that and I thought, man, you know, come on. Are you serious? Anyway. But I want to thank all the great comments about it, and thank you. And if you've ordered it within the last couple of days or several days and haven't gotten it yet, you should be getting it any time. You can go to Stained by Blood, and I can send you out a autographed copy, or you can just go to Amazon and order it, download a Kindle version, or order from there. But thank you so much for all of your kind comments. And I was asked this past weekend by an individual who read the book, and I emailed this person back, and basically I was given a packet. I'm not going to ruin the book for you, but I was given a packet of information by someone at the end, and I never did disclose what was in that packet. Well, I did disclose it to a couple of people, but not publicly. I think Russ Dizdar. And this individual said, "Are you going to tell us?" I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, with hubris. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm considering it, I suppose, because this does get right into what I'm talking about right now. To give everyone kind of a starting point and understand how critical this is, this subject is of mind control, where we're at right now. And again, thank you for bringing me to your barbecues. Thank you for bringing me to your table, your homes, squad cars, even the firehouse in the Midwest. Thank you so much. Stay safe out there. And if you get a call, just hit the archive. But what we're talking about here at its epicenter, at the at the very beginning, the mystery religions of Egypt, Greece, India, Babylon really are at the forefront of what we're seeing take place today. One of the earliest writings giving reference to what we see as far as the occult is concerned, and what we're dealing with is essentially the occult. And just to be clear, occult or occultism, it's hidden knowledge. One of the earliest writings is the Egyptian Book of the Dead. It's a compilation of rituals explicitly describing methods of torture and intimidation, essentially to create trauma, the use of potions, meaning drugs, and the casting out of spell, or the casting of spells, I should say, which is hypnotic in its nature, ultimately resulting in the total enslavement of people. And this is what we are being subjected to. These have been the main ingredients for a part of occultism known as Satanism since the beginning. And therein lies the crux of the matter. Just some additional history, and again, I'm going to accelerate my information right now. The The 13th century, the Roman Catholic Church increased and really shored up its dominion all across Europe. We know it as the Inquisition. Satanism survived this period, deeply entrenching itself under the veil of various esoteric groups. And we know, like, for example, the Illuminati. In 1776, there was a Bavarian Jesuit named Adam Weishaupt. You've all heard of him if you've listened to this program at all. He was commissioned by the House of Rothschild to centralize the power base of the mystery religions into what is really what we call the Illuminati, meaning the enlightened ones. And there was this amalgamation of the powerful occultic bloodlines, elite secret societies, influential Masonic fraternities, with the desire to construct the framework for what we now know as the New World Order. And the outward goal of this utopia is to bring forth universal happiness to the human race. We can make everyone like gods. But see, the underlying intention was to gradually increase control over the people, over us, thus becoming masters of the planet. We talk about a lot of things, including transhumanism. What I just said there, our goal of this utopia is to make people like gods. Well, transhumanism, that's the end goal of the New World Order. If you're interested in this kind of thing, I'd urge everyone to take a look at the film called Dragon's Deception. I believe it's by a gentleman by the name of Scott Keisler. He concludes that the ultimate objective of the New World Order conspiracy, the Luciferian New World Order conspiracy, is to replace human beings with a post-human race of immortal cybernetic beings, a new race of technologically enhanced man-machine cyborgs. We see this today with the headlines, don't we? We see this striving for immortality. Oh, people can live to 150 years old. Why are they doing this? To escape judgment. It's this formation of a new race of technologically enhanced man-machine cyborgs that, in part, is based on Old Testament biblical worldview. There's evidence that indicates that the world system is controlled by this Masonic, Illuminati, Kabbalistic synagogue of Satan. So when we look at Satanism itself in the New World Order, we must be careful not to overlook the guilty, complicit accomplices who walk among us. We can't blame everything on Satan. I mean, that's the origin. But there are many complicit. What the heck are we talking about? Well, you know, when we talk about New World Order, what is it? Essentially, it's, you know, well, one might ask, is it really, are you serious? Is there a tiny global elite plotting to take over the world? Or are you just really nuts? Well, you can say, and I'm sure everyone can say with authority, that, of course, there's a small group of initiates, the illuminated ones, who are in this breakneck speed dash toward their one world finish line. In a sense, well, they'll be exposed, I suppose, by the time they reach a finish line. But is it relevant? Is it going to matter? Because their plan is in such advanced stages that they think they can't be stopped, even if we catch on to their ancient plans and schemes. Global events in the coming years are going to unfold in such a way, in the coming weeks, months, I believe, that much of the global population, they're going to beg for a new world order to step in and save the day. And among those are going to be Christians too. The arrival of the new world order, I must caution everyone, it's not the end game. Once they establish the NWO, it doesn't mean they win. No, that's just the beginning. And there's a lot of people out there who will push that theory, and it's really not an intellectually sound theory about the New World Order. And it's difficult at times to sort fact from fiction. I gotta tell you, it's rough when you do this research, because you've got to really understand the truth and use spirit your spiritual discernment to really acknowledge the truth. It's a truth, a discernment that we must get from outside of us, the Bible, for example. Again, what we're watching here, the arrival of the New World Order, it's not the end game, it's just a means to an end that's even more sinister, that the end consists of transhumanism, the death and destruction of mankind, and the creation of a post-human race. You see, I wrote an article titled Life is Like a Box of Chocolates, and it's an interesting article, but the bottom line is it's a battle for your souls, and not just for your bodies, not just for your stuff, but for your souls, because souls, that's what counts. And most of us live, most people, I shouldn't say us, we live in a false reality type of matrix. We've been lulled into what can only be described as a spiritual trance-like state. Many people have been the target of a vicious womb-to-tomb psychological warfare program that blinds us from the truth. And how is this accomplished? You demoralize the psychosocial educational techniques that start as early as kindergarten and even earlier. And we see this happening through various initiatives from Common Core to even the changing of languages. And this is where the social networking comes in. Social networking plays an important part in this. Pop culture, arts, entertainment has been weaponized. It's being used to brainwash us. The media, the Illuminati-controlled corporate lapdog media, these entities that deliberately muddy the waters of information to confuse, obfuscate, and distort. This is what we're seeing, too. Again, changing words to mean things that they don't mean. Gay. What is a transgender? When you stop to think at some of the words we throw around so quickly and easily, where did they come from? And then when you start looking and following the breadcrumbs, you look down the rabbit hole, you can see that we've been programmed. And we need a spiritual breakthrough. And this is what Paul McGuire and others are attempting to do. And Coach Dave Dobmeier, and we need to break free, break out of the chains of this false reality matrix. You know, if you go back to Genesis 6, tracing the Nephilim, the hybrids, what would happen in Genesis 6, Steve Quayle's writings, we can see that the modern eugenics movement, the selective breeding that we saw being pushed by the Nazis, especially the Nazis, to create this master race of godmen. This is the essence of transhumanism, and as boring maybe, or as maybe not boring, but as crazy as this sounds, it's apotheosis. It's to attempt to be like gods. Now, you cannot understand what's going on in the world today, nor are you going to be able to understand what is going to come to pass without a proper understanding of historical events of Noah, in the days of Noah. And if you go back to Luke 17:26, it just says it wasn't the days of Noah, so it's going to be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Genesis 6:1, for example, it explains, now it came about when men began to multiply in the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that sons of God saw that their daughters were men. That the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whoever they choose. And if you go elsewhere in the Old Testament, Job chapters 1, 2, 38, and so on, you find the phrase sons of God. Benaya Elohim, for example, reference to angelic beings. Jude verses 6 and 7. And I can go on and on and on, but again, I'm just going to hurry up here. What are we seeing? The Nephilim, back in the day, Genesis 6 time. They were on the earth in those days and also afterward. Well, this merging of angels and women, giving birth to hybrid offspring, half human, half angels, this chimera stuff, this, we're seeing it take place today through other means, of course. We saw early on about merging between animal and man, as an FYI. Talk to Tom Horn, for example, Chris Putnam. And I've spoken with them, and they talk about alien encounters. Their experience with the Vatican, that will come out and say, you know what? We might have an alien encounter, and if we do, well, we have to treat them, you know, and baptize them and allow them to be baptized and such. But what this is, in this case, in that particular case, we're being duped. We're being prepped to accept this alien race. It's not interstellar. It's interdimensional. It's all in the context. But have you noticed how we're seeing all of this from the Vatican? How we're seeing this kind of talk from the Vatican? It's not new. And again, Tom Horn, Chris Putnam, they point this out. Steve Quayle has pointed this out. Expect some sort of revelation to take place to say, hey, aliens, they walk among us. Remember John Carpenter's They Live. Very similar. You know, figures I'm the only one here, and I just knocked the switch off my desk. That silence you heard. Anyway, you go back to the period of Nimrod, when Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on earth. Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord. His kingdom was in the land of Shinar. Dr. Michael Lake wrote the Shinar Directive. Shinar, of course, located in the area now called Iraq, means the land of the watchers, literally. Book of Enoch, although it's extra biblical, it makes reference to the various entities, and I'm not going to go into that. But you have to understand all of this. You've got to understand where we've been to understand where we are now and where we're headed. And this is kind of where it gets... I'm going to kind of skip here a little bit in my notes. What do we know about Nimrod? Well, we know that he led a rebellion of the ancient people of Babel against God. We know that that was embodied in the construction of the Tower of Babel. And if you go back to what Dr. Stan Monteith had said a number of years ago, Nimrod's spirit of rebellion represented by the Tower of Babel, that spirit's been around for the last 4,400 years, dating back to the time of Nimrod. And that was the origin of all the mystery religions. What was the purpose of this? Back then, as it is today, and through all of the mystery religions, and you folks, I know you can name them all just about, or you know about all of them. Why were all these mystery religions, these fraternities, these groups formed? That's right, to bring about one world government. It was Nimrod's dream. And they were building the Tower of Babylon. They never got it completed because God intervened. But Nimrod was a very evil person. He was the prototype of the Antichrist. And that spirit is the exact spirit we're seeing today. That pagan Babylonian system. And we see it manifest itself in, well, what's going to happen next Monday? The Church of Satan in Los Angeles. It's a pagan Babylonian system that originated under Nimrod, but it was energized by real but destructive deceptive power of Satan's kingdom. You see, the spirituality of Babel is important because it serves right now as a foundation of, well, it served as a foundation of all ancient mystery religions, but right now it's serving as the mechanism which the New World Order will be installed. And now Tom Horn, and I've had the pleasure of speaking with him about this. He outlined the doctrines of these ancient mystery religions. If you pick up Zenith 2016, he talks about them at length. If you fast forward to the Nazis, and I mention the Nazis because it's important to understand their role. Nazi Ernst Rudin, he was the mentor for Josef Mengele, the angel of death in Auschwitz, advocated eugenics, selective breeding. They picked up on the idea of creating an Aryan super race, and this became central to their mission. Now, notice I said eugenics because eugenics is a big part of currently of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. But people don't want to hear that. Instead, you got Patton Oswalt and Samantha Bee on full frontal, an obscene reference anyway, by these pagan druids, extolling the virtues of Planned Parenthood. But see, that's the spirit that's alive today. The Nazis. This is why we talk about it. Because it's central. Creating a super race is central to that theme. There was a former Satanist who admitted that Hitler believed that for every Jew he killed, he would be empowered to achieve his agenda. It was essentially a blood pact with Satan. Did you know that Hitler brought over 100 Buddhist monks from Tibet to Berlin to meditate around the clock to keep channels open with the realm of the occult and allow the demon spirits to conquer or help him conquer the world? And what we're seeing is this extension of the occult-based Nazi regime, the spiritual framework that we talk about from the teachings of Helen Blavatsky, the founder of the New Age movement, and of course Friedrich Nietzsche. Don't forget Nietzsche is the founder of psychiatry modern day. He was a real whack job. The whole goal, the supreme goal of the Nazis and others, and other groups, is to create a super race of God-like men. Just follow the bouncing ball of the various civilizations. Anyway, the end game, folks, just to be clear, it's transhumanism to create a post-human race. The lie of Darwinism, the perversion of eugenics, the Planned Parenthood, really from Planned Parenthood or from the Third Reich to Planned Parenthood, whatever, from the United Nations to mind control to pop perverse environmentalism, there is a common thread. Right now, it's transhumanism. It's a genetic revolution seeking to enhance the human species through managed evolution by way of genetic engineering, mind sciences. It's the creation of a post-human race. How is this going to be accomplished, and why should we care? I mean, what's going on? How does this apply today? Didn't realize, I was going through my notes, didn't realize how quickly time flies. You've heard of Project or Monarch Mind Control, right? You've heard of that. You've heard of Manchurian candidates. Folks, you're going to see, I truly believe this, it may not be celebrated as such, but you're going to see Monarch Mind Control methods for programming Manchurian candidates for social violence in our society. All right? Whether it's at the conventions, whether it's post-conventions, whether it's during the elections or afterwards, or when a societal breakdown occurs, or regardless of the trigger event, there are people walking among you and among us who are Manchurian candidates. We saw this in the form, I believe, of Sirhan Sirhan. We found this, we've seen this in various other forms too. It's one of the best kept secrets in history. Monarch mind control programming. It uses trauma-based mind control along with state-of-the-art mind control to create people who are controlled by a handler without even knowing they're being controlled. It's kind of like many of your family members, your friends. It's kind of a joke, but not really. This is accomplished by a very sophisticated use of the brain's ability to disassociate, which is used to the extreme to create multiple personality disordered minds. Russ Dizdar talks about this. This is kind of the genesis, genesis? That's probably the wrong word. This is where we get serial killers from, in a way. Psychopaths, true psychopaths. If you, there's an extremely technical definition of the Monarch program. It was used by the U.S. Department of Defense. Code name for a subsection of the CIA's Operation Artichoke. It was also known as Project MK Ultra. You know it perhaps by any one of those. The technical definition, in this case misleading, because the Monarch programming under various names such as marionette programming has been going on since the Nazis. And here's how it works, basically. There's a basic component. The basic component of the Monarch program, it's a sophisticated manipulation of the child, a child. In particular, the children are used for this. Of the child's mind to protect itself from extreme trauma. You know, when you're a child, when you're young, if you see something horrible, you block it out, or you compartmentalize it in your mind as a child. This is a protection. And when we saw 9/11, especially those people who were directly involved in 9/11 in terms of being victimized by it, it was so incredibly traumatic. People jumping out of windows, planes hitting buildings. We all remember seeing this. There was a huge creation of multiple personality disorders. And how it's done elsewise is through torture. Torture on children. I had mentioned this before. How, for example? Do we want to know how? Well, harmonics, frequencies, sound waves, they're used to manipulate the RNA covering the neuron pathways to the subconscious. Harmonic generators, ether waves, they're able to embed detailed commands which are linked to audible triggers. Now, it's interesting because this is one of the standard features of the Monarch program. It allows the people, the victims, to be controlled by trigger words, which if you and I heard them, they might not make a doggone bit of sense. Or they might not carry any negative connotation to you or I. And I've seen this. I have seen this in my experience. I've seen this. Russ Dizdar has seen this. For instance, what about a song? In an article by the Phoenix Project back in 1994, they reference a song, Mr. Postman, Wait and See. Well, that might set off an access sequence so that a victim living away from their master goes to their master or their handler. You want to know what's going to come in the end of days, or, you know, as the end of days approach? You're going to see a lot of activation. You're going to see activation of mind control subjects. Well, what do you mean? What kind of subjects? Let me see if I can cut to my notes here on the subjects. I had referenced this earlier, one of the earlier programs. How about this breakdown of orders? I actually, for tonight's program, I've got 44 pages of notes. So let me find this, because this kind of cuts right to the heart of it. Here it is right here. Hold on, people. We got it. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay. Another way of examining the convoluted victimization of someone, of someone's body and soul, is by looking at it as a complex computer program. A file, which is an altar, is created through trauma, repetition, reinforcement. In order to activate or trigger the file, a specific access code or password, a cue or a command is required. The victim or survival is called a slave, and the programmer handler, who in turn is perceived as the master or God. And folks, about 75%, the majority, are females, since they possess a higher tolerance for pain, and they tend to disassociate easier than guys. Now, the subjects are used mainly for cover operations, for prostitution, for pornography, for involvement, and therefore involvement in the entertainment industry is notable. We've seen this in so many examples. In the big picture, Monarch victims are from all walks of life, whether it be from the least of people on the street to the highest of entertainers. They're chameleons. They're used as plants to, or chameleons for the purpose of infiltrating a designated group, gathering information, and or injecting an ulterior agenda. It could be a church. It could be a patriotic group. It could be a political group. There's an untold number of such altars or alters, I suppose, or victims, survivors, with numerous backup programs, mirrors, and shadows. This is very interesting. It gets into some pretty deep stuff. How do you know if you're dealing with someone who is a mind-controlled victim, an alter? You can ask some questions, or here are some ways to identify whether someone is an alter personality, a multiple personality, or has been mind-controlled, programmed. I mean, really, mind-controlled. A few of the internal images or things that are interwoven in the mind and in the main internal structures of a victim. There are multiple levels, by the way. Each system has an internal programmer, shall I say, that's kind of acts like a gatekeeper who grant or deny entry into different rooms in the compartmentalization of the multiple people. But you can tell because there's discussion by these alters, by these victims, the survivors. Things like the Kabbalistic tree of life. If you've ever seen someone draw, for example, Kabbalistic tree of life in an odd context, or write ancient symbols and letters and just have a fascination and draw spider webs. I know this might not make too much sense at the moment, but how about a tattoo of a butterfly or a snake? You know, that fits so many people. Hourglasses in particular. All of these are a way of examining and identifying this convoluted victimization of body and soul. People who are perhaps involved in or have been subjected to mind control. And specifically monarch programming. People who walk among us. Well, so what, you might say? What do these people do? And I had talked about this in an earlier program. Various people, so the alphas, for example, they're regarded as general or regular programming within the base control personality. They've got a really pronounced memory retention. They've got a substantially increased physical strength, visual acuity. Alpha programming is accomplished through deliberately subdividing the victim's personality, which essentially causes a left-right brain division, allowing for a programmed union of left and right through neuron pathway stimulation. But these are kind of like the scouts, if you will, into an organization. Then there are people with beta orders. They're referred to as beta is a sexual programming. It eliminates all learned moral convictions. There's no inhibitions. Can you think of some uses of those programmed in beta? How about delta? Delta, this is known as a killer programming. It was developed originally for training special agents like the Delta Force, Mossad, various other covert operations. Subjects are fearless. They're very systematic in carrying out their assignments. But what Delta means is when they're done with an assignment, they've got no compunction. They can just kill themselves. Suicide. Self-destruction. Theta. Theta is considered to the psychic programming bloodliners, or those people coming from multi-generational satanic families, are often Theta programmed. These people were determined to exhibit a greater propensity for having telepathic abilities. various forms of electronic and or electronic mind control systems were developed and introduced, namely biomedical human telemetry devices, electromagnetics, brain implants. Two more. Omega. It's a Omega is a self-destruct form of programming known as Code Green. One thing I want to let you know, anyone involved in the research of programming will find a couple of interesting names or consistent names. Green is one of them. Green Tree, Green Bomb, which is German for green tree. Ways you could tell, maybe. Gamma. This is the last one I'm going to do. Gamma is a form of self system protection. It's deceptive programming, which really allows or provides the ability of the person being handled, or the victim, survivor, if you will, to misdirect the individual who is trying to investigate what's going on. This particular level is intertwined with demonology and can pop out at any given time. In other words, when you think you got a multiple personality or multiple personality disorder individual or this DID person all under control, you really don't, because Gamma has basically had the had you fooled. It's the people walking among us right now, when we're talking about fourth, fifth, sixth generation mind control initiates, seven, eight, nine, I mean, I don't know, numerous, multiple generation initiates, people walking among us right now, you got to understand that the initial process of creating disassociation started from birth, even before the womb. Electroshock treatments. Trauma of all kinds, sexual abuse. The mind splits off into alternate personalities from the core. Formerly, this used to be referred to as MPD, multiple personality disorder. Now it's called DID, or dissociative identity disorder. And it's the basis for modern programming. And again, the reason I'm telling you this is because we are going to see these people, see these soldiers, and Russ Dizdar references these in his book, The Black Awakening. These are the foot soldiers which are walking amongst us right now. So when the stuff hits the fan with the economic collapse, watch for these people to be signaled to be active. And I know how crazy this sounds. I really do. And if you're an FBI profiler and you're listening to this and you're saying, yeah, right, this is all BS, well, that's what you were taught to say. You know, I had mentioned about Johnny Depp and Through the Looking Glass. Folks, many of the Disney movies and cartoons are used in a twofold manner. There's a desensitizing of the majority of the population using subliminals and neuro-linguistic programming. There's this deliberate construction of specific triggers and keys for programming of highly impressionable monarch children. In other words, this is kind of like the bones of the system. There are movies, films, cultural iconic events that serve dual purposes. Aside from entertainment, or what appears to be entertainment, this is the, and I believe this to be important, this is actually the mechanism. If you look at Well, a prime example of how subliminal programming works, especially in movies like Disney movies, is by looking at the recent, or I shouldn't say recent, but one of the cinematic sensation movies, Pocahontas. It was their 33rd, Disney's 33rd animated movie. And if you know anything about Freemasonry, 33, of course, is the highest degree in Scottish Free Rite Masonry, or Scottish Rite Freemasonry. In that movie, the grandmother Willow is a mystical 400-year-old tree who counsels the motherless Pocahontas to listen to her heart and help her realize all the answers lie within. This grandmother Willow, again, the tree, is constantly talking in doublespeak and using reversals, saying things like, sometimes the right path is not the easiest one. The esoteric derivative being the left path, or the path that leads to destruction, is the easiest one. You see where all this is? See how deep this goes? The imagery of the tree's branches, leaves, root systems, extremely significant. A willow tree can endure severe weather disturbances, storms, and it's known for its pliability, flexibility. So too can survivors and victims, or at least that's how they're programmed. There's a partial list of other mediums used to reinforce base programming of multiples and dissociative identity disorders, but people walking around that are mind controlled by the intelligence, the perverse intelligence, criminal cabal within the intelligence agencies that was modern, or in modern times, that began in with the mind control experiments of the Nazis. If you look at Stephen King, interestingly enough, who's come out recently and talked about Donald Trump and some other things, and about some geopolitical events. His many novels, movies. If you look at Insomnia, for example, it features a picture of King with a trigger phrase, we never sleep. It's indicative of someone with MPD or DID. It appears below an all-seeing eye. Other mediums used to reinforce base programming: Pinocchio, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, Aladdin, E.T., Star Wars, Ghostbusters. This is good. Trancers, too. It's an interesting flick. Batman Bewitched. Even Fantasy Island. Without getting into, I'm looking here at the time. We are at the close of the program. I guess what I'm trying to get through with this, the social engineering of the masses that's been taking place for so long, we are about to experience the end result. The end result is not just the dumbing down of the population, but the other part, and that's the infiltration for the intent on demoralizing and destroying God's people. And we're going to see this take place. It's starting now. If we haven't already seen it, but now in earnest. As I said in the beginning, an acceleration. I want to thank everyone who has joined me on this Memorial Day, and thank you for allowing me in your homes and into your backyards. Until tomorrow, may God bless. Stay safe. Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.